You know, Father, I believe that's true of everyone that's here, that they could give that testimony of this song, that your love is so great, it's overwhelming. And, you know, as we come again this morning, we just want to thank you for who you are in our lives, that you're a great and mighty God, one who's extended his arm to us, pulled us from a miry pit, and put our feet upon the rock of ages. And so we thank you this morning now as we come. And, you know, as I just think again of this song, I'm so reminded of that's what the Apostle John did. He was able to sit on your lap and put his ear against your breast and feel your heartbeat. May we have that same testimony in our heart this day, that we could do the same by faith. And so we thank you now as we come. For as always, we come in no other name but the name that is above every other name. That name which declares there is only one way to heaven, and that is through him. And we thank you in his Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Is he not? Hallelujah. Now, I was just giving a note here again. You know, those of you who might have come way back when we were at the old church on Sunday nights, we had a missionary who was over in Japan, John Clendenin, who would come on occasion when he would come from Japan back to America, actually before he left too, but he's there where the floods are now in Japan, so you might want to pray for him. By the way, he's out there, he's on the wall, on our wall out there. You might want to look and see who he is. Okay, God is good, is he not? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Sometimes I wonder whether we're awake and we're alive at times, but you know, I know we all have different things go on in our lives, especially on Saturday nights. So let me start. There was a father. And his father took his son to a museum in the city, and he thought that by taking his son that he would get maybe some entertainment, maybe some education as they went to the museum. But after 2 hours of the son sighing and complaining, the son finally turned to the father and said this, "Dad, let's go somewhere where things are real." And I know that's the expression very often when we go into places like museums, but you know, there are people who read the Bible and say the same thing. They look at the Bible as just ancient stories. That's all they are. And they have no meaning for my life today. You know, I hear that often and often. As a matter of fact, sometimes I even hear it from Christians, that the Bible has no meaning for them today. It's just a bunch of ancient stories. And you know what? When they say that to me, the first thing I realize is that they haven't allowed their heart to be open to the Holy Spirit. They haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to bring truth, to bring revelation of what the Word of God is saying, but saying to them, not to the world, to them specifically. And so they're wrong. No other book that's ever been published has meaning for our lives. And you need to know that as you, you know, maybe have it on your shelf. Dust it off. And I always tell the testimony, I remember when I went with my boss to England. And he was a Jewish man, and you know, we were talking about the Bible, and we talked about certain things. And I asked him to bring his Bible in when we got back, and he did. He brought a hard-covered book that had a paper covering around it to me, and he gave it to me. And as he gave it to me, I had to blow on it to remove the dust from it. By the way, that might be your Bible. It might be your Bible. Maybe it's getting old, dusty, and you need to open it up once again and realize what it says. God hasn't chosen you and called you just so you could continue to fight off the demons in your life as he's molding you into the image of his son. That is certainly the first thing he wants to do. But he's also called you into service. And I think that's part of the area we miss. Too many Christians come and sit. We get comfortable in the pews, but we're not serving God. Now, by the way, you could be serving God at your job. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a leader. Wherever you are, you could be serving God. But you know what happens as we get into this issue of serving God? Sometimes our excuse is this. Well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And I'll leave that with you. If you have that excuse on your heart, I guess I would ask you, why are you not ready? But that's the message for this morning. Oh, we got a whole bottle, Judd. Wow. Thank you. Hallelujah. Wow. I feel like the young kids, you know, they walk around with bottles of water and just drinking water all day long. Thank you, Judd. I don't know. Can I just say one thing about that, though? Our generation, we didn't grow up with this. We went out and we played for hours during the day, and we never went for water. There was no water. when you're out on a baseball field playing for hours. But today, I guess it's good to be hydrated. Hallelujah. Well, maybe we're buying into something. I don't know. What does a bottle of water cost now? How much does it cost? $1? $1.25? Whatever. Okay, let's get on. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the issue of being available. Be available. This morning, I want to continue that. Be available to be ready. Be available to be ready. By the way, you have the notes in your bulletin. You could follow along as we go through the scriptures. If you can't read them, they're there. For those of you who sit in the back, maybe this comes up a little bit too short. There was a man, this particular man, by the way, I forgot to give this quote. His name, by the way, is William Lyon Phelps. And this was before they jettisoned Jesus out of all the Ivy League schools. He happened to be one of the most well-known and inspiring teachers at Yale University. And this is what he said. I believe knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without a Bible. And I think that's true, right? You need to have both of them. I mean, I know everyone wants to go to school and learn, but you need to also learn about the Word of God. And so you need to be available to be ready. So let's start this morning. Are you ready to make ready a people prepared for the Lord? Are you ready to make ready a people prepared for the Lord? Now, by the way, when I say some of these things very often as we speak about them, I want to remind you that you can do nothing without Jesus. Not a thing. Therefore, it's the Spirit of God that's going to do this work in you. Not you, not in your flesh, but through the Spirit of God. So if I happen to leave out the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about doing something in our natural abilities. God has given you natural abilities, but they need to be used and processed by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to remind you of that this morning. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit of the power of Elias, or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, of course, we know who this is talking about. Who's this talking about? John the Baptist. And so, but it's not just talking about John the Baptist. That's what I love about the Bible. Yes, this is history. This is talking about John the Baptist. But it's talking to you. You're a child of God now. And by the way, I want to be careful here. You're also a prophet of God. A prophet of God is one who speaks about the things of God. That's what you are. And so here we are. And this particular, again, scripture reminds us that we need to be making ready a people who are ready for the Lord. So many of us want to prepare others. I'd love to do that. So many of us today want to be a boss or we want to be a teacher. But no one wants to be an apprentice anymore. No one wants to put in the time and effort to finally become a master at whatever craft or whatever it is that you're in. No one wants to put in this time and energy. Now, there are those that are and are willing, but not many. But we need to be putting in the time in the Word of God to become prepared to make ready a people who will be ready for the coming of the Lord. Very often we acquire a little knowledge, a little experience, and all of a sudden we become rocket scientists. We think we know it all. Can I say something honestly? We don't know anything. I don't care what position you are. We know nothing. But we want to learn more and more, don't you? I want to learn more and more and more about the Lord. As a matter of fact, here's two verses in Proverbs. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool brings ruin near. And then in Proverbs 9:9 it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. And so those are the things we need to do. You want to become wise? Well, you need to be taught to be wise. And the righteous man, he needs to learn to be righteous so that it increase in learning. We should have a desire. You know, you are now righteous because Jesus has made you righteous. He's clothed you in his righteousness. There should be a motivation in your heart to want to know him, to love him more, because he's the one that first loved you. So I guess the question is, are we prepared? How remarkable it is of God to take us who were so far from him and his ways, so far, even those who were going to church, we were so far from God to believe that he would consider to put the time and energy into you personally, to prepare you as sons and daughters of the living God. We come as children, and then we learn to become sons and daughters. We were born again into the kingdom. That's the birth. Now there needs to be a growing in the things of God. You know, back when, I'll go back maybe into the 80s here, there was a commercial of a particular company, and here's the commercial. So H&R Block's motto was, they want to prepare your taxes. And as I'm thinking about that, I said, well, what should be the motto of the church then? Well, the motto of the church should be this: let us prepare your soul, for our soul has been prepared. Is that a good motto or what? Let's prepare your soul, for our soul's been prepared. By the way, just maybe Hollywood could get that right. I don't know. Let's see. You know, one thing about Indiana Jones, I don't think he ever made it, fictitiously speaking, that is. You know, I don't think he ever made it to the kingdom, but Hollywood does get it right at times. His soul was prepared, that man's, and he wanted to make sure that somebody else's soul was prepared. How's about you? Is your soul prepared? Then we need to prepare other souls to get ready for the coming of God, for the coming of Jesus. Okay, point two. Are you ready to go where Jesus would go, where the Holy Spirit sends you? Are you ready to go where he wants you to go, wherever that might be? Well, I don't know. Where does he want to send me? He might send you to the prisons to preach the good news. He might send you into a hospital. He might send you into a supermarket. Who knows where? You might have some divine appointment. Luke 22:33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. So my question first is, who said that? Peter. Now you know the story. Jesus tells Peter that Satan desires to sift him as wheat. And of course, here's Peter. Peter, the obstinate, the quick responding, the fleshly Peter, declares his stance. And he says, I'm ready to go with you into prison and even unto death. But he will be tested. His faith will be tested. He will be proved whether or not that's true or not. That's be very careful when we make boasts to the Lord. Jesus is going to refine Peter. You see, Peter wasn't ready. He wasn't ready, even though he was following Jesus, walking with him, listening to him over and over again. He was the one that declared, if you will, that was the captain of the group. And still, he wasn't ready. Listen, have you ever gone through some situation in your life where at the end you've blown your testimony and you stand crushed, you stand defeated because you did something you knew that you just ruined your testimony before God? I'm sure no one here has ever gone through that, so we're just talking to the internet right now, whatever. But if you've ever gone through that, there are some things you need to be reminded of. And one of them is what the great American philosopher once said. He said this, it ain't over till it's over. It's not over. It's just not over. When Jesus was resurrected, if you remember, he went personally to Peter, personally, to encourage him, to exhort him, to remind him of that he was going to use him, of how much he loved Peter and how much he wanted him to be the leader of the group, if you will. That's why if you've been knocked down, if you've blown your testimony, maybe once, maybe twice, who knows? If you've been knocked down, I need to tell you, there will never, ever be a 10 count. Never. If you don't get up off the mat, Jesus will pick you up. You'll never get knocked out to the count of 10. It will never happen. Jesus is always there to pick you up. As a matter of fact, let me remind you today that no matter what you're going through, the situation that you're going through, oh, I got friends, they pray for me. I got a prayer partner, he prays for me. She prays for me. Whatever it is, whoever you have. That's wonderful. You need those. But I want to remind you of this situation you're going through right now. Jesus is interceding for you right now in heaven. He knows what you're going through. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. He knows your sorrow. And he's the one that's into... Who better would you want to have praying for you than Jesus? I mean, but certainly we want people praying for us. But I just want to remind you that even with those people praying for you, you still have one in heaven who's interceding on your behalf. So don't feel so down and defeated and beat up and beat down. Remember, it's time to rise up. This is time to get ready for what's really going to happen here on this place called Earth. Sometimes preparing to be ready breaks our heart. And let me give you the scripture here. It's found in Acts 21. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." While at Tyre, on Paul's third missionary journey, what happened was a group of disciples came to him and they told Paul, they said, through the Spirit, by the way, it said, they told him through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. "Don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. Something is going to happen." And while, as he left Tyre, he came to Caesarea. In other words, as he gets to the next town, Caesarea, a prophet comes out by the name of Agabus and delivers him a dramatic message. He took Paul's girdle and he tied himself up to say, "This is what's going to happen to you, Paul. You will be bound in Jerusalem." Now, there's always been much discussion over this. There are people who say that because Paul was now warned about not going to Jerusalem, of course, from Jerusalem he's going on to Rome, and then eventually he's going to be beheaded there in Rome, they believe that he missed the mark. He didn't hear. He disobeyed God. He should never have done that. But I just want to shed some light on that this morning, because the Greek implies that this wasn't a prophetic statement not to. It was a warning about the consequences that would happen. That's what it was. It was a warning about what would happen if he goes and stays on the path that he's going. They're not implying that God didn't want him to go to Jerusalem. They're just saying, if you go, this is what's going to happen. So instead of accusing Paul of compromise in his life, really what we should be doing is applauding him for his courage. Because he knew that if he went to Jerusalem, they were going to bind him. And from there, he was going to go to Rome to stand trial, which, of course, really never ever happened in a sense, and they would behead him. He would die. He would be a martyr for God. You know, there are times in your life when friendships will be hard to break, but sometimes they have to be broken so you can move on with God. There are sometimes they will be broken simply because of your stand for God. But we need to be strong, especially in these days. The Lord is preparing us to be ready. He's preparing you to be ready. Even if it means imprisonment, even if it means death, he's preparing you to be ready. Now, when I say that, of course, right away, we live in America. I don't really think anyone's going to see death for their Christian faith here. But can I say the truth to you? You will have to die if you're a Christian. You will have to die to yourself. And that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to die to yourself. But that's what God wants. He wants us to die to ourselves so Christ could rise up alive, the resurrected Christ in us, the hope of glory. Those of you who would remember Jim Elliott here and Roger Yudarian and Pete Fleming and Nate Saint and Ed McCulley, they went down to the Yucca Indians. And they believed as missionaries that they were going to transform these Indians, that they were all going to get saved. And they all died when they went down. All of them were killed by these Indians who didn't know anything about Christianity or America or whatever. But this opened the way so that their wives, two of them, could go down. And these Indians, this tribe of Indians, would be saved. Now, you know, we could sit here and we could argue with God. Why would God do this? Why would he kill five men who were in their 30s, who were zealous for the living God, who wanted to proclaim the good news? Why would he have them killed? Why would he do that? You know what I find so often, matter of fact, even some of the discussions we've been having on Saturday mornings, all these discussions, we keep asking God these questions. And we question and question God over and over and over. But you know something? We never really look at ourselves when we question these. We're always thinking about somebody else. I know when God was drawing me to himself and I went to a few places, that was my questions always. What about the children born blind? What about those in Africa that never heard the gospel? What about this? What about that? But listen, it's not about everything else. The gospel is about you. It's a personal message to you. What are you doing with the gospel message? What are you doing with the cross? What? And of course, the issue is, what are you doing with Jesus? That's the big question is, what are we doing with Jesus? And these men were willing to give up their lives. They were willing to give up their lives. So who are we to question what God was doing in their life? They gave up their life physically. God is asking us to give up our life, if you will, not so much physically, but certainly spiritually, that we would die to the flesh and let the Spirit of God live in us. When you are ready to make others ready, he will send you. Here's the scripture. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. He sent messages to make ready for him, and he sent them to the Samaritans. By the way, that's probably where God will send you. He's going to send you to the Samaritans. Who were they? They were the religious people, having a knowledge of God, even doing good works, but having no personal relationship with the living God. They know about God, but they don't know God. The same way with you. I'm sure many of us here who went to churches, we knew about God. We knew the history. We could recite the Apostles' Creed or whatever creed that you recited, but we didn't know God personally. We didn't have a personal relationship. We didn't know really who he was. Who is this Jesus? Matter of fact, when you go to the Samaritans, you know what their comment will probably be to you? Something like this. Why are you so fanatical about this Jesus? Can't you talk about something else? Why is it that you talk about Jesus like you know him? Well, that's because we do know him. And we want to know more about him. He's the God that loved me, that loved you. He went to the cross. He bled. He washed away my sin. He made me a new creature. Wow. Notice it says to make ready for him, to make ready for Jesus. It didn't say to make ready for a prosperous lifestyle. It didn't say to make ready for popularity. It didn't say to make ready for elitism. It didn't say to make ready for some religious denomination. That's not what it said. By the way, you know, I forgot to mention this during the dedication, but it's a good thing because now we'll mention it now. We see that the greatest section of the American culture that's growing in the religious area are the nuns, the ones that don't want to be affiliated with any kind of religion. They just don't want to be affiliated. That's the greatest growing percentage of our population in America right now. And you know something? I'm one of them. I don't want to be affiliated with any religion, period. I want to be affiliated with Jesus. That's all. I don't want to be affiliated with some religion, some denomination. They're all falling, so many of them. But I want to be affiliated with Jesus. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that gave me life. Not some church, not some pastor, not some priest. It was Jesus who brought life. Where can we go, Lord? Only you have the words of life. And so, what is God asking us to do? How do we do all of these? How do we go out and prepare a people to be ready for God? How do we do that? Well, you need to, I hate to use the word preach, you need to convey the gospel. You need to convey it. That's what it says in Romans 1:15. So as much as is in me, Paul is saying, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Yes, I know I'm going there, and I know they're going to have a trial, and they're probably going to kill me somewhere along the way, but I am ready to come to convey the good news to you. Is that what you want to do in your life when you go out there? You want to convey the good news of who Jesus is? But you know something? You have to win the right to speak to them. You just can't go out there and talk to people. You have to win their right. They have to see something in you that they don't see in those that are out there. And by the way, we have a big battle on our hands. Big battle. See, the church was always doing the right thing and doing it first. When it came to anything, like missions. I'm talking about like the Lighthouse mission, feeding the poor. When it came to hospitals, the church was always first. It's not that way anymore. The government is pouring out money. They're giving money away. And everybody wants to feed the poor. There are so many charities you can give your money to. The hospitals now are turning away from Jesus. Go to the hospitals and find out. I mean, I go there. Sometimes I can't even find a clergy spot to park. Now, I know, maybe that's, you know, but it's nice to have a clergy spot to park. But now you go to the hospitals, especially like Stony Brook, you have to pay to park. I'm going here to see somebody who's suffering and hurting. Well, you got to pay to park. I mean, after all, we had to build a parking garage. So this is where we are today. We're in a battle. We're in a war. We need to remind them and ourselves sometimes of the issue of authority and service in the form of good works, or I should say God works. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey the magistrates, to be ready to every good work. You know, we need to be law-abiding citizens. That doesn't mean we can't protest. Doesn't mean we can't have a different opinion. But it does mean that we need to do it with respect and integrity. Listen, when you go out and watch what's going on all around our nation, do you see respect? Do you see integrity? Or do you see a bunch of hooligans who are out there trying to have their way in some demonstration? That's what I see. I don't know what you see. Over and over again. But that's not us. But I would declare this to you, though, and I'm going to want to go here this morning, but I'll say this. America is in a civil war. What side are you on? This is a civil war. Are you on the right or are you on the left? Well, I'm on neither. I'm in the middle. Okay, that might be part of the problem. By the way, when I say right and left, I'm not talking about your particular affiliations or whatever. I'm just saying, what side, you have to pick a side. What side are you on? This is a civil war. It might get to the point where there could be, you remember, I don't know if you remember Wilkinson, David Wilkinson. He wrote a book. Many considered David Wilkinson to be a great prophet back in the time he lived, which is only a couple of years ago, like 30 years ago, 20 years ago. He said this. He said, there would be 1,000 fires burning in New York City. That could happen. Could happen at any moment. Who knows the way our country is going. But we need to be law-abiding citizens. Not like the rest of the people. That's what it says here. Be subject to principalities and powers. But we still have a right of appeal. Then it goes on to say this. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. These works, though, must be fostered by the Holy Spirit. They need to be God good works. Not just good works. And we need to add to the works, it says, distribute freely. Not a requirement. You do it freely from your heart, willing to communicate. So are you ready to make ready? So as I end this morning, I'm just going to end here with... No, I'm not going to end yet. I'm sorry. We still have a few more minutes to go and I have a few more pages. Then Jesus said this. This is what he says. He says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. My time hasn't come yet. But your time is always ready. He says, I'm not coming back yet. But your time is always ready. Are you ready? Jesus is not ready to return, but he reminds us that our time is ready. So I charge you. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge to the living and the dead, that by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And by the way, this is happening more and more and more. Matter of fact, our young kids, our young adults are being taken into deceit on the issue of the gospel to believe that it's nothing but love, 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 love. Just love everybody and everything will be okay. Well, that can't happen. You can't just love without speaking truth and righteousness. But if you're speaking truth and righteousness in love, then watch what happens. But our kids are just, this is all they're learning about is love, love, love. And these guys that are speaking to them are speaking hypocrisy in some cases, and they're deceiving them in what they're teaching. Matter of fact, Jim showed me a little YouTube, and I'm not going to go into what church the guy is from, but it's a big church, and it's here in New York State. When he's asked the question of, is Jesus the only way, he can't answer the question. Let me ask you the question. Is Jesus the only way to heaven?
Yes.
There is no other way. No other way. Jesus is the only way. Not through Buddha. Not through Confucius. It's not through Hare Krishna. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Oprah. It's not through Mary. It's only through Jesus. By the way, they don't want to hear that anymore. No one wants it. That's too exclusive. We want something that's inclusive. We want everybody. We want a global economy. We want everything to be the same. We want one standard wage. We want health care for everybody. We want everybody to live in peace. Wow, that's wonderful. That's what I would love to see too. But I know that's not going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes. But the Antichrist is coming to deceive so many. The time is now. It's not tomorrow. Yeah, but I have problems. I'm just not ready. I'm not ready. I don't know enough. And people keep telling me that, you know, I'm stupid and I'm dumb. And I'm just not ready. And so we keep throwing excuses at God. Listen, if you're saved, you have the mind of Christ. If you're in the Word of God and God is showing you things, then you should be able to stand against the confrontation, against the battle that will come. So what are we ready for? But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks for a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. To give an answer to every man. To give an answer to every man. That what? What does it say? That asks. That asks. That should change maybe our evangelism a little bit. That's why I say there are divine encounters. When a person asks you, that's the moment we're supposed to be giving an answer. You don't go out with the Bible and start hitting people on the head because you think you have all the answers. Be ready. Be ready. Someone will come to ask you. And when they come and ask for the answer of the hope that lies within you, you will have the answer. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Listen, it's time to come out of our comfort zones. Are you ready to be an offering for Jesus? I beseech you there, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so as I end this morning, I'm just going to give you three more verses here about what this is all about. What is it? What about readiness? Readiness for what? Well, here it is. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. By the way, you've been called into a marriage. You are not worthy, but God has made you worthy. And he says, come. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's what we have to come to understand this morning, is that there's a call now. There's a marriage feast that's being prepared, and I believe Jesus is coming soon. How soon? For me, it's soon. For some of you young kids, maybe not, but for me, it's soon. Jesus is coming. I want to be ready. I want to get to the marriage feast. I am so glad that I can know that I know that I know in my heart that I'm going. You know, as I end this morning now, I'm going to play a little. You know, I go on YouTube. I love to I like to find something. And, of course, for you guys here who are raised in the 50s and 60s, you'll probably like this. The rest of you will probably say, well, that's for you old fogies. Hey, hallelujah. I know for some of you kids it doesn't mean much, but when I listen to that music, I'm reminded of dancing. Now, of course, I don't want to be careful here. I want to be careful about the issue of dancing. Somebody sends me an email, but I remember dancing when I was younger. We did a lot of dancing to this kind of music, but are you ready? Are you really ready? Now, when I say ready, Jesus is coming, but listen, we're here. We've been given a reprieve in America. This is a reprieve. That's all this is. This presidential president that we have right now, this is a reprieve for us who are religious. Oh, I shouldn't say that, who love Jesus. Those of us who love Jesus, we've been given a reprieve. What are we going to do with this time? Are we preparing to prepare those who need to come into the kingdom of God? The harvest is white. It's white. But the laborers are few. He's called us to be laborers. So be ready. Be ready. Go out there and see what Jesus will do. Your life will never be the same when he moves upon you to move upon others. Father, we thank you this morning. You are such a great and mighty God. We just thank you for all that's gone on here this morning. We thank you for the dedication of young Elijah. We thank you again for Dana and Brad now. We thank you for their family. We thank you for the family of God that meets here at this place called Gospel. Father, continue to teach us. Continue that we might know more of you. And as we know more of you, the only thing we could do is love you more. The more we know, the more we love, because you first loved us. We thank you. Now bless your people this day as we go out into highways and byways. May we compel them to come in, not to gospel, but to come into the kingdom of God. We thank you for it now in Jesus' precious name.